Blog Talk Radio.
First Peter 1:15, as he which is holy, which has called you, is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, or in all manner of living. Hallelujah. And the only way that you can do that is when you fall in love with Jesus.
Separation. Separation from sin, separation from the world. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, which says simply, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Be ye holy, for I am holy, God says. If we expect to have the Holy Spirit dwelling in our lives, it makes a lot of sense. We must be holy. Holiness really means being Christ-like. Holiness means every aspect of living for God. It's a privilege to be holy. It's a privilege not to be bound to sin. It's a privilege not to be addicted to alcohol. It's a privilege not to be addicted to smoking. It's a privilege not to be bound by lust and bitterness and envy. It's the most powerful thing in the world that when somebody treats you wrong, instead of treating them wrong back, you can say, look, nobody's going to manipulate me. Nobody's going to tell me how to think. The devil can't make me do this. No other person can provoke me into an ungodly situation. But through the power of the Holy Ghost, I can respond with a meek and gentle and quiet and peaceable spirit under all circumstances.
Well, don't y'all over there think of, y'all say you can't do this, you can't do this, and you can't do certain things. You don't matter how long you talk to them. Until they get a revelation of who God is, they're not going to understand what holiness is. This salvation in Acts 2:38 is not a must. I mean, it's not a maybe. It's a must. It's not just an optional way, another play building to get into and just say you're a believer, but it is the only way to travel and to become a true, full-hearted believer.
Praise the Lord. Welcome to another episode of Kingdom of God Ministries. We are so glad you could join us today. Wanted to open up with prayer, as always. And tonight we will be speaking on religion versus relationship. I will be bringing out some various scriptures tonight. Also, I have breaking down what it means to have a relationship, what it means to be religious. And we know today in society, we have a lot of people saying they go to church, but my question is the church in you? So tonight, Father God, we just open this broadcast up, and we ask that you touch our listening audience. Let your word go forth and touch the heart. Lord God, we ask that you lift up the brokenhearted, and we ask that you bring deliverance to those that are bound up, because you came to set the captives free. And Lord God, we are your agents. We are your vessels. We ask that you use us. Let your holy anointing flow through us so that what we speak will edify, build up the body of Christ. And this we pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Also, our listening audience, I wanted to just bring an update. We have a very special guest coming. He will be bringing his testimony on the Illuminati and how he was once involved in the Illuminati, and through the power of Jesus Christ, he was able to break that demonic yoke off his life. So tune in next Friday. Please tell someone. Powerful testimony. The brother's name is Dr. Marquis, Marquis, and our time is 8 o'clock, so be sure, invite some friends, invite whoever to listen, because this is very imperative that you listen. We don't have a lot of this going on in the mainstream churches, a lot of teachings on this, but I know it is very informative. So join us next Friday at 8 o'clock, rain, shine, snow, whatever. We will be here because I want everyone to hear this explosive testimony, how the power of God can set you free. All right, so like I said, tonight we will be bringing you religion versus relationship. And I wanted to just expound on what is a relationship, and we know there's various type of relationships. A casual relationship is what I wanted to bring out first. A casual relationship, and this is coming out of the encyclopedia. It's known as a fling, F-L-I-N-G, is a physical and emotional relationship between two people. And a lot of times, the reason I brought it out in the natural, because I wanted you to comprehend what I'm talking about, and then I'll bring it over into the spiritual. But a fling is a physical and emotional relationship between two people who may have sexual relationships. Now, the reason sexual relationship, because I want you to picture the intimacy of a relationship. And when two people come together sexually, you know there is some type of intimacy. It may not be the better intimacy, but it is a joining together. It is a sexual relationship. Usually a casual relationship is called friends with benefits, or a near sexual relationship without necessarily demanding or expecting the extra commitments of a more formal, more romantic relationships. Motives for casual relationships vary. There are significant gender and cultural differences, and it goes on to say, but I just wanted you to, I wanted to bring that out. A casual relationship may be part-time. That's the word I wanted to look at, part-time. And I wanted you to get that picture, so if you can just bring in your mind of a relationship. Now let's take this over into the spiritual realm. How many of us have a casual relationship with God? Part-time, you go there on Sunday, but you're only going for the fringe benefits. There's no type of, you know, no commitment whatsoever, just the fringe benefits. I get what I need, and then I'm out of here. Okay, let's look at intimacy. Then there's the intimacy. Intimate type of relationship generally refers to the feeling of being in a close personal association and belonging together. It is a familiar and very close affective connection with another as a result of a bond that is formed through knowledge and experience of the other. Genuine intimacy in relationships requires transparency, vulnerability, And so I wanted you to get the picture of when you fall into an intimate relationship with God, you become connected with God. You become personable with God. You bond with God, and you begin to read about God. You begin to learn about God. It's no more of a casual relationship, but it becomes an intimate relationship. I had did some study on America's moral meltdown, and I wanted to, this is a Gallup poll. It was taken, you know, a few years ago. But the Gallup poll revealed that 77% of Americans believe America's moral values are going worse, okay? They believe that it is growing worse, yet more than 80% of Americans consider themselves personally religious. It says the Gallup poll reported 55% of Americans say religion is very important to them, and another 28% say it's fairly important. So they're kind of midway, you know, I can take it or I don't have to have it. With a majority of its citizens professing religious faith, is America morally strong? Or is the nation headed for a moral meltdown? You be the judge. And I know every day you cut on the TV, you look at the TV, you see different things going on in families and relationships, and you see that there is an absence. Even though we say we're 80% Christian, yet we have so much debauchery and so much is going on, and people are saying they are followers of Jesus Christ. The United States is often considered one of the world's leading nations. Sadly, America is more and more leading the world in immorality. How will the decline of this once great nation affect our world and you? I want you to think about what I'm saying. Now, these are just some Gallup polls that I wanted to bring out, because even though we say we are a God-fearing nation, you couldn't tell it by our lifestyles. At its foundation, the U.S. based its values on Scripture and the Bible. And when I was coming up, I remember as a child, we would have the Ten Commandments in our classroom, and we would do the Pledge of Allegiance, and we would even read out the Bible. But you don't see that in our schools today. It says Scriptures and the Bible and the Ten Commandments. Now, this was going on all the way up until the 60s. It says, historically, marriage and family has been the building blocks of our society. When I was growing up, it was kind of, you didn't see a lot of divorce. Now you see even Christians getting divorces. Now there are sometimes in the Bible that God do allow divorce, but now it's just a casual thing. Remember what I said with the casual relationship? It's casual. I mean, you'll get a divorce for any reason. It's not for infidelity or fornication, but it's, well, you may not like the way somebody look, or you might see somebody else you want, so you'll get rid of this person and hop over to the other person. And one day we will be teaching on transference of spirit, because when you're doing all this hopping around, all you're doing is taking, remember what I say, intimate? You're coming into that sexual union with that person, and you're sharing that spirit. That's why God look at marriage as a covenant. He look at it as a bonding together, because there's so much involved in just a casual sexual relationship. And you see, a lot of people just take it as casual, the marriage vows, and they don't even think anything of it. And I'm talking about Christians. Divorce statistics in the Western nations remain sobering. In the last 30 years, the percentage of married adults in the U.S. has dropped by 17%, and more than 40% of first marriages end in divorce. I'm talking about a God-fearing nation. This is America. In Great Britain, it's 53% of all marriages end in divorce. And Canada, 45% of all marriages end in divorce. You see, it's sad. What a sad commentary on the family stability of these nations. A lot of times the media play into this. And we look at Hollywood, how they'll go from one partner to the other, and then it'll filter on down in our homes and in our family and in church-going believers. We look at Hollywood and we pattern our life after Hollywood, which should not be so. Come on now, we're Christians. It says the fifth commandment states, honor your father and your mother that your days may be long upon the land. How many of us see how the children are even dishonoring their parents? They don't want you to teach them. They want to go with the in crowd. Because if you have some moral standards in your household, they think you're being hard. But to the godly parents that is listening, stand firm and teach your children the principles and the statutes of Jesus Christ. They may not understand now, but they'll thank you later on. Our modern world, Western world, increasingly rejects the Ten Commandments and continues its slide into immorality. Just how bad it is. This is another research group. It says, regardless of America's opinion, do you realize that according to biblical principles, those behaviors are morally wrong? Just as God is the creator of the natural laws of physics and chemistry, he is also the lawgiver of spiritual law. And those spiritual laws are just as real as the physical ones. From the beginning to the end, the Bible reveals that obedience to God reveals laws bringing blessings, while disobedience brings curses and penalties. Scripture reminds us, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. That's in Galatians 6, 7, and 8. So do you see the moral decay of America? Because we are reaping to the flesh, we are reaping to corruption. This is why this is coming up on America. This is why we're opening all these curses up on this nation. Yes, we are a blessed nation, but God do not take glory in disobedience. We cannot continue to be disobedient and think God is going to just wink on this stuff. God is not. It says we all need to keep the Ten Commandments, even if our nation is turning away from the Ten Commandments, refusing even to let them be posted in public buildings. Each of us individually can learn the true ways of love toward God and love toward our neighbor. The commandments of God need to be written in your heart. We know that being on a wall is good, but it needs to be in the heart. That is what's wrong. Our heart is so far away from God that we are not adhering to the things of God. A nation that practices sexual licentiousness will pay the price, but we must ask ourselves individually, what is my attitude toward sexual activity? God created sex for intimacy, romance, and love in marriage, and to build a family. God's way is the way of joy, peace, serving, caring, and loving. Husbands and wives are to love one another. Let's not pattern ourselves after the world. And if you do have some, I'm not telling you that because you're married, you're never going to go through anything and you won't have any challenges, but that's where the two of you, if you're two believers, fall on your face before God and ask God to heal that marriage Ask God to take out that stony heart so he can blend your hearts together as one. God can do it. He saved my marriage, and I know so many of you listening, you may have a testimony how God healed your marriage. God said he hates divorce. Now, there are some exceptions to the rule. Now, let's not go to the extreme. If you're in a situation and you're getting abused and you know, he or she is committing adultery, these are things that God do not honor because they're breaking that covenant. But if you and this husband or wife is sold out for Jesus Christ, there is no reason that you should be talking about a divorce. We need to repent, saints. Even if you are engaging in sexual immorality, you need to repent. You need to confess your sin before God. Because I'm not going to sit here and tell you that because you're going to church, it's all good and you could continue in your sexual immorality and God, he understands. No, God said repentance. And that is something you need to search your heart and ask God, Lord, is this pleasing to you? All you need to do is say, what I'm doing, Lord, is it pleasing to you? What does your Bible reveal about adultery? Read about it. It's in the Bible. A lot of us won't even pick up the Bible. The only time, even if we get a scripture on Sunday, we may get a scripture, but most of the times we take the Bible because it looked good, and we may open it on the Sunday when we go to fellowship. But other than that, through the week, do you read your Bible? Do you really know what God is saying in his word? Start opening your Bible. Read your Bible. Find out what God is saying about immorality. Find out what God is saying about your marriage. Find out what God is saying about living a life that is pleasing to him. Because as you can see, the time of Jesus' return is fastly approaching. And that is why God is raising up men and women of God that will proclaim the truth. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And I am like the disciples when they said, silver and gold I have none, but such as I have I give unto thee. I will give you the word of the Lord, the truth, because the truth is what will set you free. Not compromising the gospel, but we will give you the unadulterated truth here at Kingdom of God. And I wanted to say, in Romans, this is coming out of Romans, it's Romans 7, it says, know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law has dominion over a man as long as he liveth. Now, see, God has set us free from the law because we were bound up in sin, but Jesus came. That's why I say everything you need, Christ has already done it at the foot of the cross. All you need to do is receive it. If you live in a way that you know is contrary to God, all you need to do is ask God into your heart. And I'm not talking about religious. I'm talking about a sincere repentance. Lord, come into my heart. Cleanse my heart. Okay, over here in Romans 7 and 5, it says, for when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. The wages of sin is death. This is what I'm telling you. Yes, we have grace in Christ Jesus, but there will come a time that the sin that you are doing that is unrepentant, God will judge. This is not to put a guilt trip on you, because like the Bible says, we all have sinned and come short. But when you realize that you ask God to come into your heart and cleanse you, washing you with the word of God. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. So once you become a born-again believer, there should be some fruit. There should be a change in your lifestyle. That is why Jesus died on the cross. If that was the case, what he did would be in vain. If you're going to continue in your sin, God forbid. You do not need to continue living a life that is not pleasing to God. For sin, taken occasion by commandment, deceived me and it slew me. This is what he's talking about with sin. The more you get into sin, the deeper you get into sin, the more it will destroy you. We cannot pattern, we cannot fashion ourselves after the world. Because, see, the world don't know Christ. We know Jesus Christ. There should be an example. If no one else reads the Bible, they used to say, your life should be the Bible somebody may read. But now you can put a Christian on side of a person who don't know God, and I would guarantee sometimes you don't even know the difference. We have Christians cursing. And I'm not talking about just a slip-up. I'm talking about you get them upset, they will use the F word and every other kind of word. We have Christians committing adultery, abortions, and I'm not condemning. If you have had abortion, God can forgive you of that too. What am I saying? Don't continue. When the Holy Spirit shined the light on you and said, look, my daughter, my son, I am not pleased with this lifestyle, don't be full of pride. Humble yourself at the foot of the cross and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, I repent. If any man among you, this is coming out of James 1:26-27, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridle not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. How many Christians you know, they'll just slough at the mouth, they'll cuss you out, they say things, they backbite, they slander, they talk, they gossip. This is not becoming as Christ. These are some of the fruits that should be possessing your life as a Christian. Over in James, he said, Ezekiel, and I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh and will give them a heart of flesh. That's what God wants to do. That is what the whole conversion process is about. He take out that stony heart when you were a sinner, and he give you a heart of flesh. Over in Isaiah 29:13, double heart, very widely for the feelings, the will, even the intellect. So God wants your whole heart. He doesn't want, like I told you earlier, a part-time. He doesn't want you to just visit him on Sunday, but he wants you to live for him all 365 days of the year. Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as the people draw near to me with their mouth, and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. They don't even fear God in the churches anymore. They do what they want to do. They tell God in so many words, well, you be thankful I'm here. It's just a careless attitude. And when you love somebody, you want to please that person. And think about when you found your first love. All you wanted to do was spend time with that person. You wanted to be in that person's presence. You could talk to that person all night long on the telephone, and you never got tired of hearing that person's voice. I'm talking about true love. Now, I'm not talking about that casual love, you know, because with the casual love, you can, you know, well, you know how that go. You know, like I said, fringe benefits. But I'm talking about that intimate love, that love when you just would see that person, you would light up. Well, this is what God wants from you. He wants that intimate relationship. He wants that relationship where you could just talk to the Lord. And I'm not talking about, you know how now they talk about in church, oh, you getting so spooky on me. What is being spooky because you want to spend time with in the presence of God? How is that spooky? People can spend time at football games, whatever they want to do, but when you're telling them you want to spend time with the Lord, they, ooh, that's spooky. You see? You see how they have watered down everything in the gospel? nothing. You don't need to be so spiritual. Don't be so spiritual that you're no earthly good. What is that talking about? You can never be too spiritual because we are walking in this flesh, and let that this spirit be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. This is how we need to walk. A daily work out your own soul salvation with fear and trembling. This is something we need to do. We need to work out our salvation. So this is what God is saying. And some of us today, and I was talking earlier about the marriage vows. You know, sometimes we go and we will renew our vows with our spouse. That's what we need to do today. Jesus is the bride. Jesus is the groom. He's coming for a bride without spot or wrinkle. Some of us need to renew our marriage vows with Jesus Christ. You know you have fallen away. You know you are doing things that is not pleasing to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I don't have to sit here verbatim and point out every one of them because God even convicts me. I'm not telling you I'm perfect, but when the Holy Spirit showed me something, I'm not pleased with this, my daughter. I try to fall on my face. Lord, I repent of that. Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, forgive me. Because none of us, he said, of all our righteousness is still as filthy rags. But we need a Savior because Jesus is continually washing us. He's continually maturing us in the things of God. So I want you to think on these things. Because, like I said, we're not here to bring condemnation, but we're here to open the light, let the light go off and say, what have I been doing all these years? I've been just going through the motions. I've been going to church, but I'm not getting anything out. Why do you think there's such a great falling away? Because people see a lot of hypocrisy. So if the church is living raggedy, we cannot draw the world because we look like the world. When I say looking like the world, that's not bringing a lot of condemnation on them, but the world should see your life and desire something in you. They should see that joy of Jesus Christ. Even when you're going through some things, they should say, that person is something different about that person. I want what they have. And this is how they will know you. How will they know you? By the love you have one for the other. We should walk, we should demonstrate the love of God that is shining through us. We should not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I want to say this to my brothers and sisters. There are some times when you are out and you feel like you need the social connection, but you cannot love the world because if you love the world, you become an enemy to God. So what we need to do is choose your friends wisely. And I want to say this, if your friends is pulling you away from God, then maybe you need to get some new friends. Because our job is to pull them to God, not for them to pull us from God. And I hear people say, well, Jesus was, he was among the sinners. Jesus was, he was in the sin. His main objective, being around the sinners, was to bring them to the Father. It wasn't out there he was partying and whoremongling and shooting dice. And that's not what he was doing. His desire was to please the Father. So in that, I'm going to turn this part of the service over to Pastor Bobby. I hope you were blessed with that. And again, if you have any questions, if you need to call in, if you need prayer, be sure to call our guest call-in number. It's 323-375-0849. Again, it's 323-375-0849. And if you have special prayer requests, you can email us. Our email address is kogm77@gmail.com. The next voice you hear will be that of Pastor Bobby. Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. praise your holy name, Lord Jesus. Now, that was a wonderful word from Sister Montgomery. She really brought that out. We're talking about religion versus relationship. Now, one thing about religion I'd like to bring out, I'm going to just talk a little bit about it in the time that we have left. Religion doesn't save you. The only thing that saves you is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our Savior. He is the only man on the face of the earth, human being, come down out of heaven, the Son of the living God, came down and redeemed us from our sin by living a sinless life, by going up on a tree to cross, dying, being buried and resurrected on the third day. He paid the price for our sin. Our Lord and Savior Jesus did that. Religion did not do that. Your denomination did not do that. Anything you do apart for accepting Jesus Christ as Savior will not get you into the kingdom, will not get you into heaven, and will not please God. Morality is good, but morality without Christ will not please God. You'll live a good life. People may say good things about you, but anything apart and separate from Jesus Christ connecting you back to God will not please God. And many times, religion, and I would like to say this, many people hide behind their religion when it comes to relationship with God and Christ. What do I mean? I say you can talk to most of the people in this country today equate salvation with their denomination. In other words, they say, well, I'm a Baptist, so I'm saved. I'm a Methodist, therefore I'm saved. I'm Pentecostal, therefore I'm saved. I'm a Presbyterian, therefore I'm saved. I'm a Catholic, therefore I'm saved. Now, I haven't accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, but I'm a Baptist. So that means that I'm saved. No. No. That's a religion. You remember, the religious in the time of Christ, the religious people of that day were the ones who crucified and turned our Lord over to the Romans for crucifixions. It was the religious order of that day that did that. They rejected Christ. So we need to make the distinction between religion and relationship. I'm going to read some things to you in this regard. I'm trying to get your mindset away from and off of religiosity onto the truth in Christ of a relationship with God, because God made the way for us to have a true relationship with Him. And He went to the point of going past our carnal mindset to accept Christ and to get back into the family of God wherein Adam had lost that. The Adam lost that, but the Lord sent a second Adam, Jesus Christ, who regained that relationship back to the Father through what Jesus did on the cross. Through the cross, His burial, and resurrection, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, gained back everything and some that Adam lost. Adam originally lost the relationship that we originally had with God. Jesus Christ came back and regained that relationship back to God so that we can become sons and daughters of God to get back in the family of God. Praise God. That's a relationship. That's not a religion, you see. It's a great difference between religion and Christianity. Religion can pass away. But your relationship with God and Christ should not pass away. That's what's going to get you into the kingdom of God. Your mindset, your heart, and your relationship, your walk with the Lord. I'm going to read a few scriptures to you here. And I want to establish the fact that God is the one who set all this up. We didn't do it. God did that. He loved us. Now let's read this. John 3, I'm going with some familiar scriptures. John 3, 15 through 17. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, the relationship, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You see, God first established that relationship with us. He did that. We didn't do that. He did that. God sent his Son and God sent his love to us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died on the cross for us. While we were fighting against the Lord, cussing the Lord, living any kind of way, denying everything, Christ still died on the cross for us. For us. He had already established a relationship with us when we didn't want to have it with him. So God did all that first. Now listen to this here. Now, our Lord and Savior gave us a commandments, and all these commandments that he gave was in relationship to build and form relationships between us and him. Now, John 13:31 reads, therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. Now I say, if God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you, you shall seek me. And as I said unto the Jews, whether I go, you cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. If you have that kind of relationship with each other. Of course, Jesus Christ set that standard for the relationship. It is in love. He said he loved us first. So since Jesus loved us first, our relationship to each other should be love. Okay, now I'm not talking about a silly, foolish kind of love. I'm not talking about a phileo love. I'm talking about an agape love, God's love. The love that is comes from God through Christ should also flow in and through us toward one another, and not only toward one another in Christ, but to those who are not in Christ. We should also love them too. That is that relationship that we should have coming through God, from God through Christ to us. Okay? Now I'm going to read something else to you here. John 14 and 15. Now this is what Jesus said. It's something about this relationship. It goes both ways. It's coming from Jesus Christ to us. It's going to go from us back to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then after it goes to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, then it's going to go out to our brothers and sisters, and then it's going to go out to those who are not knowledgeable of Jesus Christ, and that they will know and learn the love of Christ. Jesus said in John 14 and 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Keep his words. Do what he says. Read his word. Do what the word says. That is proving your love for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he said, I will pray, I will pray the Father that he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, and ye shall live also. Now, and at that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Now, Jesus loved us so much, even after he did what he did on the cross, even after he ascended back to the Father, he would not leave us comfortless. He sent us the power of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, that we can still abide in the Lord, that he will still abide in us, the Spirit of God moving in us, keeping the relationship that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ started while he walked the earth. We still have that relationship with our Lord and Savior and with our Father God. Now, it says, at that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Now, you see that? This relationship goes from us to Christ to the Father. That relationship goes all the way up to God, to Jehovah, to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He loves us. He has established that relationship with us that is forever. It never ends. It never stops. We need to keep this relationship, and that's what it's about. That's why we can live the way we live, because we have the Spirit of God moving within our heart, coming straight from the kingdom of God. Now listen. Now Judas asked the Lord a question. He said unto him, Judas said unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and he will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not me. You see? He that loveth me not, he that does not have a relationship with me, will not keep my saying. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. It says, these things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said with you. You know, it's difficult to have a relationship with anybody and you don't know them. It's hard to have a relationship with anybody that you don't know. Now, God has established our knowledge with him through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God, in whom our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has sent back to us, will keep that knowledge of Christ in us through his word. Now, I'm going to read a few more things to you in reference to this relationship, because God has done a great thing for us. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to go over to Romans 8, and I'm going to read something in that area. Now, it says here, this is all in reference to relationship. There is therefore now, 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, See, we can't have a relationship in the world and have a relationship with Christ also. You're going to have to leave one for the other. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. See, we have to form and solidify a relationship in the Spirit of Christ. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, nor is it, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so that the Spirit in God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. See that? You see that? The relationship that we have in Christ Jesus will separate us from the relationship of the world and the evil one because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and because he has sent his Holy Ghost back to us to dwell in us and teach us and guide us in all the ways of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now listen to this. But you are not in the flesh. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You see, what Christ did on the cross, as he sent the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, back to teach and guide us and comfort us and be a paraclete to us, he has adopted us into the family of God, restoring the relationship back to the Lord and making us sons and daughters of the Most High God because of Christ Jesus. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, wherein we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. So you see the importance of the relationship with God, the relationship with Jesus Christ. The Lord has done it all for us. The hard part has been done. He reached out to us first in establishing and solidifying the relationship, the sonship, establishing himself to us that we can truly call our Lord, our God, Abba, Father. What greater relationship can there be other than that? Being called back to our Lord when we didn't want him. We rejected him, and many of you are still rejecting the Lord. And the Lord is still establishing a relationship and opening the door for us to come into the family of the Most High God. That's wonderful. That's miraculous in itself. Think on that. Think on that. What is your relationship? Are you just going through a religious motion? Are you just hung up in emotionalism? Are you for real? Are you for real? Are you just playing a game? Or do you have... Can you say you have a true and lasting and real relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Do you accept his love? Do you accept his offer? Do you accept the relationship that he offers to us? When he came down out of heaven and made a way for us out of no way, there was no other way we could get back to the Father but except through Jesus Christ. He established all that for us. But we have to accept that. How do we accept it? We accept it by accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, by admitting our sin, admitting our error, by repenting, by calling out to the Lord, saying, Lord, save me. I'm sorry for my sin. I repent. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. I accept you as the Son of the living God. I accept the sacrifice that you made on the cross. I accept your death, burial, and resurrection. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. I want to have a real relationship with you, Lord Jesus. I'm tired of just being a being a good Baptist, being a good Methodist, being a good Lutheran, being a good Pentecostal or Church of God in Christ or whatever your religion or whatever your title is. I'm tired of that. I want to have a real relationship with you, Lord Jesus. I accept you as my Savior. I don't want to be lost. I don't want to be bound anymore. I want to be set free through your sacrifice, Lord Jesus. Now at that, we're going to close our program. But I ask every one of you out there, ask yourself this question. Do I have a genuine relationship with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Or am I only going through the motion? Am I only a churchgoer? Am I only a denominational person? Am I only a Baptist? Am I only a Lutheran? Am I only a Catholic? Am I only a Presbyterian? Am I only a Methodist? Is that all I am? Do I have a surety that when I close my eyes for the last time that I'm going to wake up with the Lord? Or am I just steeped in my religious belief? Am I just steeped in what somebody told me in reference to my religious affiliation? Remember, religion of its own can't save you. Remember, good deeds on its own won't get you into heaven. Remember, all the money that you give on its own without Christ Jesus won't get you into the kingdom. The only thing that will get you into the kingdom is accepting the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as your Savior, to repent, turn away from your religiosity, and turn to a true relationship in Jesus Christ. At that, we're going to close out our program. Think about it. Are you religious? Or are you seeking a relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? At that, we're going to close it out. And I'd like to say to you, I want all of you all to come back with us at Kingdom of God Ministries on the 27th, next Saturday, in which we're going to have Doc Marquis. Brother Doc Marquis is going to talk to us about his experiences with the Illuminati and occult practices. Be with us. We're looking forward to hearing from you. Be blessed. Amen and amen.
Got a doubt of the flesh, gotta live in the spirit, so these lyrics fall down so your people can hear it. Got a doubt of the flesh, gotta live in the spirit, so